Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't yours, he wants to be. He can be. In fact, the Word of God says he came to be in the book of Luke 19:10. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, friend, what a joy it is to know that we as sinners can be saved by the grace of God. And all, that's what this message is going to be about today. I've opened my Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And what a phenomenal book the book of Galatians is. We're currently studying, the making of this program at least, we're currently studying through the book of Galatians at the church that I have the privilege of being a pastor at. What a wonderful group of people they are. What a wonderful fellowship it is. What wonderful blessings God is giving to us so graciously and so faithfully. So we appreciate all of them. We don't take them for granted. But we're studying through this epistle that is a great defense, the greatest defense probably, of the gospel of the grace of God. Folks, listen, you can be saved today, but the only way you can be is by grace through faith. That's the only way you can be saved today is by grace through faith. And that's what this message is all about. Debbie's going to sing a song. The title of it is "The Promise." I'll meet you back in Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to be looking at verses 13 and 14, and we'll share the message then.
When you see a rainbow spread across the sky, is God's promise he gave to you and I. For just like old Abraham, he promised him a son. When he gave him Isaac, the promise had just begun. A promise is something you can hold on.
Glad that the Lord's not like man. We may make a promise and really intend to follow through with it, but because we're weak, because we're frail, because we're failures, because we are human in what we are, well, we may not fulfill the promise. But I'm going to tell you something, sir. Let me tell you something, ma'am. God will. God means what he says. God says what he means. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm going to tell you something. God will do just exactly what he said would do. He'll do it. He'll do it. Listen, he'll do it by his power. He'll do it for his glory, and he'll do it by his grace. And he'll do it for sinners like me and you. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege it is to have a copy of the Word of God. What a privilege it is to have a copy of the Word of God. And listen, friend, I'm an old King James man. Say that with no apologies. Do you hear me? Listen, I say that with no apologies. I'm glad that I know I've got the unadulterated, inspired, preserved Word of God. Now, if you wonder about your version, man, listen, you might ought to start looking for the right one. And I believe with all my heart the King James is the right one. Listen, friend, listen. It's not an accident when this book came into being. You read over in the book of the Revelation, it's another message for another time. I know that. You follow through those church phases that the church went through, you'll find down at the church of Philadelphia that God said, I open a door that no man will shut. And because you've kept my word, I'll keep you. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, that's when this 1611 version, I know it's a version, but I call it the Bible. It's when we got this 1611 Bible. That's another message, is it not? Here in the book of Galatians chapter 3, a book that, as I said at the beginning of this program, is a defense of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had been confronted here at the region of Galatia, where this epistle went to more than one church, by the way. It was written to the churches of Galatia, a region. The Judaizers came in and did their best to try to confuse and confound those people that had been saved by the grace of God, saying to them, look, it's not enough to trust Christ as your Savior. You've also got to go back under the law of Moses. You also have to be circumcised in order to, quote, truly, unquote, be saved. Isn't that amazing? We hear a lot of that in different ways. Today, I'm not going to say anything to offend anybody today about that, but I could. I could call different denominations, traditions, different doctrines of man that they hold to that they can't really support by the Word of God. Isn't that amazing when it's rightly divided? But listen to what the Apostle Paul said here is, he was doing a great job in chapter 3 and 4, 60 verses. Listen, friend, he lays down unassailable logic in this passage to let us know, listen, that you're not saved by work. Not any kind of work. I don't care what it is. I don't care who says that you've got to do so and so to be saved. The only work that you can do to be saved is what Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. And it's not really a work. That's just simply depositing your faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Word of God says. By grace through faith are you saved. Not of works lest that, not of your own, not of works lest any man should boast. Listen, works are a part of a Christian's life. But they don't precede salvation. They do not produce salvation. They are a product of salvation. They follow after. And the Bible tells us that that is so important in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to what Paul said in verse 13 and 14. And he's continuing something that's been very, very important. He had asked six questions in the beginning of this chapter. He gives six responses or answers as he goes on down from verse 6 and following. He asks the questions, verses 1 through 5, I believe it is, answers in verse 6 and following. But look here, what he says, and he does it by looking back at six passages of Scripture taken out of the Old Testament, and he uses a man by the name of Abraham, who was before the law, who even before he was circumcised, was justified by faith, because he believed God. And listen to what the Word of God says. Paul did in verse 13 and 14. Christ hath, that's past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, listen to that, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'm going to talk to you today about a plan, about a purpose, and about a promise. It's a plan, a purpose, and a promise. The plan, bless God, is for God through Christ Jesus to redeem us. The purpose, friend, is so the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. And the promise is the Holy Spirit and all the ministry that He brings with Himself when He comes to indwell permanently those folks for their trust and their faith in Christ Jesus. But let's look at this. In the book of Galatians 3:13, the first thing we come into contact is with Christ hath redeemed us. He redeemed us, now look now, from the curse of the law, and He did that by being made a curse for that for us. That was God's plan. God, friend, listen, was always wanted to have a relationship with man. God always, friend, wanted to have a relationship with man. But there was a problem after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, after they disobeyed, after they transgressed, after that their eyes had been opened, they became aware after eating the tree that was in the midst of the garden, that tree of knowledge, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was sin that entered in. And listen now, a holy God must deal with that thing I called sin. And God sent His Son to redeem. He sent His Son to redeem lost mankind. And listen, He did it so the just demands of a law could be satisfied. A law that was broken by man. A law that a man could not keep, but His Son could and would. And He did. God, Christ hath, it's past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know what He did? He paid the penalty of the law. He paid that awful penalty of the law, that curse of the law for us. He paid it, friend, in our stead, which allowed a holy God, to bestow mercy upon sinners like me and you, based on His justice satisfied. Now listen to this. Christ, when He died, listen, He became a curse. Can I tell you, for the Apostle Paul, who before he became the Apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus. To Saul of Tarsus, friend, he began to look at Jesus. Not everything about Jesus repelled him. Not everything about Jesus did Saul of Tarsus reject. Not everything that he said or did Saul reject. But let me tell you what got Saul. Saul was repulsed. I mean, Saul was repulsed by the fact that he knew Jesus died on a tree. I mean, to tell you, that was for Paul the most impossible thing about Jesus being a Savior. The most impossible thing about Jesus providing a means of salvation for someone else. He couldn't even save himself. That's what the Greeks thought, and the Jews, they thought it was foolishness that a man would die on a cross could be called a Savior. Paul, to him, friend, the cross meant the curse. Jesus dying on a tree, being hung on a tree, meant that God had cursed him. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? Hey, listen to the Old Testament. When God designed that curse, when in Deuteronomy 21, maybe verse 23, when He said, "Cursed every man that hangs on a tree," Jews' form of capital punishment was stoning. And if the punishment, or if the crime was real bad after the punishment, they could hang the dead man on a post, on a tree, if you will, and display him as evidence of God's justice. Before the day was out, he had to be buried. And for Paul and every other Jew that knew the law, it was repulsive to think, it was impossibility, in fact, to think that Jesus, who became a curse, now listen to man's thinking as opposed to God's, could become a Savior. But God knew, unless His Son, glory, hallelujah, became that curse, became that substitute, man could not be forgiven. You see, that word substitute is something. In chapter 3 of this great epistle, you'll find the word that Christ was born under, was it not? Was it under the law? Under sin, was that what it was? Under, hey listen friend, but can I tell you what else he did? He not only got under that thing, have a look at what Paul said. He said, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." That substitution, see, God's plan was His Son, only begotten, virgin born, sinless, Son of Almighty God, for Him, listen now, to become the sinner substitute. Somebody that didn't deserve to die. Somebody, though, that was free from sin and the taints of the fall of man, becoming willing to die. You know what He did? He became our substitute. And oh, what a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful truth that is. He got between us and the curse. Do you hear me? That's what that word for means. Listen, that word for means that Christ got in our place. He is the substitute. He is the Lamb of God. God between me and the curse of the law. The curse that God put upon mankind. He became our substitute. And when He died, when He shed His blood, He didn't offer coins of silver and gold, Peter said, but His precious blood. He paid the price of redemption. He paid the ransom price for every man, woman, boy, or girl that was a slave to sin. In fact, the Word of God teaches us clearly and emphatically that Christ entered into the slave market. Bless God, He purchased us there. But when He found us and purchased us there, you know what He did? Hey, bless God, He purchased us out of there. Hey, friend, He found us there. But He paid a price to guarantee that you and I would be delivered from that place, never to go back again. He bought us. He bought us out of the marketplace. Isn't that wonderful? He bought us out of the marketplace. He ransomed us. He liberated us. And He, listen, His purchase price was so sure, it was so great, that it guaranteed, friend, and still guarantees, that none of us will be sold under sin again. All this is almost inexhaustible today. But listen, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took, listen, my sin. He took my punishment. He became sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us when He was hung on a tree. And when He got between, I love this, when He got between me and the curse, thank God, that was God's plan. But look at God's purpose, if you will, that the blessing in verse 14 of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You know what that blessing is? That blessing is, sir, ma'am, that blessing is this. You can be saved today by grace through faith. Now listen, when God blessed Abraham, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, it was before the law of Moses. And it was before God gave him the sign of the covenant, of the seal of the covenant, which was circumcision, all the males of Israel, all the males of Abraham's descendants. It was before the law, before the work of circumcision, that God said, look, Abraham, chapter 15, the book of Genesis. Come here, I want to tell you something. I want you to look up. And I want you to look up and count the stars. And if you can count the stars, I want you to know that you can count the number of your family, the number of those that have come through your loins. And you know what? When God said, listen, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. This is going to be the number of your seed. You know what Abraham said? He said, all right, God, so be it. Amen. He said, God said, I'm going to do this. And Abraham said, all right, God, amen. Just do it. And the Bible said it was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness. You said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, Abraham just simply believed. That's it. You say, preacher, it can't be that. You can't be that easy. You don't know what I've done as a sinner. You don't know how far I've gone. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't know how deep the grace of God will go. You don't know how far the love of God has gone. You don't understand the plan of salvation like the Word of God wants you to know it. Listen, the Bible says that Abraham was justified by faith. When God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to make your name great. I want to make you to be the father, the one that comes into this world to provide salvation for people like Tom Price. Abraham said, okay, God, I believe you. I believe you. Listen, Abraham didn't do any work. He heard God make a promise. He heard God make him an offering of being blessed. And Abraham said, okay, God, you said it, I believe it. And that's all you got to do, sir, ma'am, to be saved. Oh, you got to be under conviction. You got to understand you're a sinner. Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. But listen, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ. And that blessing is this, that you and I, sir, you and I, ma'am, can be saved by grace through faith. If you don't believe me, it's just by believing and trusting and depositing your faith in the finished work of Christ. I challenge you to read the book of John's Gospel, 21 chapters. And note the number of times the word believe or one of its cognate verb forms comes up, believed or believing or believeth. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sin. He said, these things were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through His name. I challenge you to do that. You'll find at least 99 times. But look, not only does God have a plan for Christ, listen, to get between me and you and the curse of God, the curse of the law, to become our substitute, where God will lay on Him my sin, your sin, and sin of all the world. He not only did it, His plan not only had a purpose, but it had a promise. And that promise is this. That promise is this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know what that promise is? That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that Jesus gave us in John 14 and John 16. He said, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And if I go away, I will pray the Father, and He'll send you another Comforter that will abide with you forever. In John 14, listen to two verses, if you will, in verses 16 and 17. I'll pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world, or whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither known Him. But ye have known me, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. God had a plan, friend. God had a plan that He followed through with. Through His Son Jesus entering into this world through a virgin's womb, living sinless among us, dying substitutionally for us, being brought out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning for our justification. I mean, God had a purpose, friend. God had a purpose to save us by faith. That's all you got to do, is realize you're a sinner and believe that Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 10, what is it, 13? I'm telling you something, friend, and the purpose is this, or the promise is this, the Spirit of Almighty God. God Himself in the form of a Spirit, that Spirit within man that died in the garden when man and woman sinned, something died within them, something spiritual. That ability to connect with God, that ability to communicate with God, that God part of them died on the inside of them. When you give your life to Christ, listen, that thing is quickened. The Holy Spirit comes and bless God, He takes His proper abode up when He comes. You want me to tell you something? Hey, listen. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By the baptism of the Spirit. People talking about being baptized with the Spirit. Well, if you're saved, you've been baptized by the Spirit. It's not evidenced by tongues or something else that's silly like that. Bless God, it's witnessed to and testified by the fact of a changed life. Not only that, you get the gift of the Spirit. Oh, look, that's what He said in Acts 2:38. Hey, you received the gift of the Spirit. What a precious thing to have the Godhead dwelling within us. And listen now, He dwells permanently, the Word of God says. That's right, He comes to take His abode in us, and He will indwell us permanently forever. Look at what else He does, and that's John 14, what I just read to you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, He does two things. You'll see that again in the book of 2 Corinthians 1 and 22. He seals us. That means He authenticates us. Bless God, He puts His stamp of ownership on us. I mean, He puts His witness within us. Those of us who have repented of our sin and received Christ by Savior have been sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. You know what else He'll do? He'll fill us. Oh, bless God. Listen, there's one baptism, many fillings. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And oh, look, He'll teach you and lead you and guide you. According to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, I believe it is. Oh, listen, friend. Listen, sinner friend, you can be saved today. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a promise. And it's all seen in Christ Jesus. He became our substitute. He got between the curse of the law and me, and He died in my place. He died in your place too, sir, ma'am. Would you run to Him today? Would you call on Him? Would you repent of your sin? And would you by faith say, God, I trust Your Son as my Savior. Help me to live for You until one day I can live with You. You know what He'll do? He'll gloriously save you. Until the next time, may God bless you is my prayer.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.